Hey, y'all.
Hi.
Donald's chewing.
What are you chewing, Donald? I just had something, too.
I made some nachos for myself and the kids.
Ooh. Speaking of eating, while
with some
on...
leftover, I had some leftover steak, and I chopped it up nice and thin.
Speaking of eating while on a show, I finally tuned in, for Daniel's Twitch.
Unbeknownst to me.
I had had a lot of jazz cabbage, so you were under extra scrutiny.
Oh, fantastic.
Donald, were you able to get on? Because I was texting you, you got to see this dude in action.
I did. I wasn't able to get on, but what you told me was that he is not the same person that he is.
Well, he has a very, big, you know, he's the lead of the show, so he has a much bigger personality.
I like that, the lead of the show.
Well, you are. You're in the foreground. It's your show.
I appreciate that.
You're very charming.
Oh, thank you.
I have never watched a Twitch anything before. So for me, it was, I mean, I've seen them spoofed or I've seen like clips of PewDiePie playing games.
Sure.
Isn't he the most famous one?
He's a big one, yes. Very big.
Okay. But one thing I learned, Donald, is that, you know, we tease him for being like a cam girl or a stripper, but it is analogous in some ways in that there's a lot of lead up and teasing. There's a lot of, what do you call it, edging?
Edging.
There's a lot of edging.
Oh, my God.
Oh, before we're going there.
Before he plays a game.
So what is
there
he,
is.
So there's a lot of foreplay is what you're saying.
There's a lot of foreplay. It starts with him eating. It's like, what do they call that, mukbang, where the people eat and you watch them eat?
That was unique, but yes, I was eating beforehand.
Donald,
I'm going to try to eat before I start streaming.
Wait. The name is unique already. Did you just say mukbang?
Isn't that what it's called?
Mukbang. Yes,
correct. Can you explain to the listeners who have no idea what mukbang is, what mukbang
is? Sure. Mukbang is a video. It's mukbang, if anyone wants to look it up. And it's videos of people eating food. And sometimes that food is requested by the fans, but it's just watching people eat their food. Sometimes it's like, I'm going to this restaurant, watch me eat. Or sometimes it's, my fan wanted me to eat 600 chicken nuggets, and so here we go.
It's like that Asian girl that be eating some of the nastiest shit I ever seen her eat. Like the shit she bites into, it squirts and everything. Like,
yeah, and there's one woman who ate a live octopus and it attacked her face.
That's what she gets for eating a live octopus.
Yeah, that's exactly what she gets. Didn't she see my friend the octopus or whatever? Oh, my octopus teacher?
Jeez Louise.
Joelle, have you ever watched Mukbang?
Yes, but like in a... It was like a Vice report or something like that. I've never like saw it out. I'd be like, let me go watch some people eat. It's not my thing. But I understand.
What do you think it is that people like about it? The sounds are sensual. It's sensual.
Well, for some people, it's the ASMR, but for other folks, it's just like a genuine like connectivity sort of thing. It's like, I'm gonna sit down and eat with this person. If that person's good at commentary in between, it's more of like a
But a lot of it's like, I think it's sexual. I think it's sexual too, because a lot of it's like this. I'm gonna take a bite right now. I'm going to put it to my mouth. Listen.
Here's Donald. Do some ASMR with that food you're eating.
Be louder. Yes. Be louder. Yeah. Mm. Oh my God. I think this is where if I was into it, I'd get the lotion.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, Donald, I'm watching
By the
Daniel.
Time I swallow this, if you don't go,
yeah,
then I haven't done my job.
Then you're a really good mukbanger.
I'm
watching Daniel, and I thought I tuned in for a video game, but it opens with mukbang. He is eating a sushi, I believe.
Indeed.
And talking to his fans. There's a lot of conversation. It's like a streaming conversation on the bottom of the screen. And then Stephanie comes in, who I'd never seen in real life, and she's very beautiful, Daniel.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. Very charming.
Daniel did very well.
Stephanie came in, and she had an appearance. She came to talk about something. I forgot what it was.
Was it mukbanging? Were they going to invite
more
people?
No, she wasn't
mukbanging with them.
Stephanie did not get into the mukbang. That was solely Daniel's thing.
Indeed.
Okay. And the second I came, I was like, I don't know why I'm still watching this. But it turns out there was going to be a video game that was going to be played.
There was eventually, yes.
Now, Daniel, how many people roughly do you think watched you eat that sushi or play that game?
When you came in, there was about 65 people watching at the time.
Wow,
I think
amazing.
Unique viewers, there's probably about like 800 people who come in over an entire stream.
We got to get that up, Daniel. How do we do that?
I'm working on that constantly.
If you're listening and you're one of these people like Daniel that like to watch people play video games, please watch his Twitch because these numbers are not. The poor man is mukbanging and we need his numbers up.
He's showing you a lot.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'm working on. I just got a green screen, so I've been adding. That's how you saw like the there was like clouds behind me and stuff like that. So you know we've been upping the production value.
Yeah, nice. And you're sassy. I think your personality is a bit sassy.
Definitely. Well, because you know you got to be a you got to whip these people on the internet into place.
Well, you were very charming, and I thought Donald would really like it, and Donald probably would have stuck around for the video game.
Does he tease?
Yes, there's a lot of rimming. There's a lot of like, pretty soon I'm going to play the fucking car game. But first I gotta eat this fucking roll.
Gotta edge him. You gotta edge him.
He's edging all 60 of those people. Imagine the dude who's just like so excited to watch Daniel play this car game and he's gotta wait for Daniel to eat dinner.
Well, thank you for coming to the stream. I appreciate that.
It was great. Tell people where to watch it for those of you who need to watch it.
You can find me on twitch.tv/DJ_DANL, DJ Danil on Twitch. Find me there.
That feels like a lot for people to remember, but they will.
It's all good. Follow me on Twitter. I post about it all the time.
Enough, Danil. We should probably get into the show.
Let's do it.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of dogs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories.
Now, I noticed that Donald hasn't solved his echo problem.
It doesn't sound like him.
I don't care. I'm at the beach, and it's so hot. I chose, for sound reasons, open doors instead of air conditioning, and I will be occasionally patting my brow.
Do you love it? Hold on. I'm sorry.
What's happening? Zach. Oh, my goodness. Wilder has just entered with a new hairstyle that looks so beautiful.
Your hair looks great, Wilder. Ooh. She can't hear us.
Looks so pretty. Out. Oh, wow.
She's not. Is this your first blowout, Wilder?
Tell her that it looks beautiful, Donald. She can't hear us.
Hold on.
Wilder, that looks so good. It looks so pretty.
Thank you.
Oh. Is this the first time you had your hair blown out?
No.
Tell her
we're about to braid it. That's why we blew it out.
Oh, we're going to braid it. Oh,
fancy.
It looks so good, babe.
Oh, she had a new walk and everything in here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You want to show her?
Can you show us the new walk, Wilder?
No, I did not.
Casey said that the new haircut came with a new walk.
Wait, we got to take the help. You got to take the headphones off. You going to say bye?
Bye.
Show them how long it is.
Wow.
Looks beautiful. Wilder has her hair straightened and they're going to braid it. It's very pretty. I think because Casey was here, Daniel, we should play the Casey song.
Casey, come down here. I don't know nothing about raising these fools. So tell me what to do. I don't know nothing about raising these kids. And that's what it is.
Okay, what a song. What a bop.
Dude, this girl got her hair blowed out, and she is loving it.
She feeling herself? She's walking around with that like wave in her hair?
She's got the same hair her Barbies have now.
That's the thing. Barbies have that hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know.
It really is one of those things, man. Like, you go searching for it as a parent and stuff, you know, to find cartoons and stuff like that where the characters and, you know, nursery rhymes, nursery tales where the characters have hair like your daughter, especially if your daughter's black. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand how big of a deal this is to little girls. You know what I mean? And, you know, for the longest, she would talk about Elsa and Anna. And, you know, she would get upset because she couldn't get her hair to look like that. And it was like, what the fuck? Like, where do I look? Where, you know? And so Casey found a bunch of great books about hair and, we've really built her confidence into loving the fact that she's very unique, you know, in her circle of friends. You know, she has something that none of them have, and that's curls. And It's just very funny to see her walk in right now with blowed out hair and, you know, the look on her face. Like, she's so happy right
now. I heard Casey say that the haircut came with a new strut.
Yeah, well, it's not even a haircut because we're going to braid it. We just blew it out so we could braid it longer. And this girl is, you know, she's in heaven right now. I wish it could stay like that. I wish you could blow it out and it stays like that on little kids. But the second that thing gets wet, bye now. It absorbs 1 ounce of water right back into an afro.
Yep.
I love how Daniel's like, yep, I know, and I've had an afro.
You know me.
So, this episode, it started off, and I was like, wow, this is going to be a cuck, like, right off the bat. JD.
Well, JD, first of all, JD's back in there trying to be in this relationship as a threesome.
He just loves her so much. So he's willing
I know, but don't you think that would be more painful? Like, you know, you're going through a breakup with someone, or you've been through the breakup, but you're like not seeing them anymore, and all of a sudden you got to be this close with this couple?
I think he gets turned on by it. I think there's a little bit of a turn on because he keeps doing it over.
Well, it's Keith that is really enjoying the lotion being spread on him. He's biting his towel.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
In ecstasy.
Yes.
I mean, it's very, very homoerotic.
Yeah, but, you know, it's Scrubs. But wait, hold up. It's not as homoerotic as Dave. Let's. You guys warned me about the
episode. You got to episode 3, I take it.
Season 2, episode 3.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that has taken the bromance to... Because, you know, I'm watching, and I'm like, well, I know they're not gay... But Benny Blanco has Dave's penis on his face right now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're very comfortable. They're very comfortable with their bodies.
Very much so.
Donald, we never took it that far.
I was like, in my mind, I was like, damn, Zach and I never went that far.
I know. We never. I mean, there's like, a scene in that episode where they're showering together, and it's. Yeah, I mean, they might as well be. They might as well be hooking up.
He's got his face in his penis, like literally looking at him. He's like, it's beautiful,
Joelle, you didn't watch
man.
It? Joelle.
I am not currently watching
shit.
Dave. I'm
Joelle,
so sorry.
You got to watch
it. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruin it for
spoilers,
you.
Spoilers, Donald.
It's okay. Sorry. All right. I review stuff for a living. I'm so used to spoilers. It doesn't bother me at all. Okay. I've heard nothing but great things. I plan it's in the rotation. I will get there. But no, I haven't dived in.
All right, so
it's
Elliot...
really bizarre, man. It's really, really such a bizarre
season
show.
Season one
anyway.
Was wild. Season
all right, so Elliot wild. Is taking her bikini top strap off to not get a weird suntan, which is something a lot of women do. I don't really understand why. Like,
You don't want that strap, Sean. You don't want that when you wear a dress.
Oh, it's for when you wear a dress, the bikini line will show. I never understood. I'm like, who's gonna see? You're back where the strap line was, but it's for open back dress. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So we think that JD's going to rub lotion on her, but he does indeed rub it all over Keith.
Not only does he rub it on Keith, he applies it with such great force that Keith bites down on his towel.
Yeah. I mean, Keith is on the verge of having an orgasm, it seems.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I think if there's anyone who's interested in a man's hands on him, it might be Keith because he's having to bite down on the towel.
Well, JD has a lot of gay moments in this show, and one of the best ones comes later when they're talking about the dude in the dude in pediatrics, and all the women in the hospital are like, "Oh God, yeah." And it cuts back, and you see JD for a split second with the rest of them going, "Oh God, yeah." And then
they're talking about a woman, bro.
Oh, I thought they were talking about a man.
No.
Don't get me wrong, JD actually would have been hilarious if
that's
JD
what I thought. I was like, this is so, we are so freaking ahead of our time right here.
No,
with this joke.
No. That was hilarious though. But wait, you're getting too far ahead. All right. So then we learn that JD is in fact rubbing Crisco on Keith's back.
Yes.
And he says, does it smell like pie crust? And I say, that's the rhododendron, Keith. Everybody knows they smell like pie when they bloom.
Everybody knows they smell like pie
when they bloom. And then he gets the worst burn you could get because I put Crisco on his back.
Yeah, we got watchy talkies and you call me up because Elliot's busy with Keith.
Yes.
JD calls up Turk and lets Turk hear his back sizzle in the sun.
Yes. Yes. Now, I remember. Now, do you remember who had the only really famous watchy talkie ever?
Fucking Michael Knight from
Knight Michael Rider. Knight and Knight Rider. I'm sorry for this show to keep coming up for everybody, but Michael Knight had a watchy talkie that he could talk to Kit. Could he talk to other people or just Kit?
No, just Kit. Get me out of here, Kit.
And Kit would come Kit, I'm going to need you. Yeah. And Kit would just come to life and turbo boost.
That fucking car, man, could break through cement walls.
Car was everything. Do you remember when I told you I talked to him?
Yeah, at fucking Universal
Studios. Yeah, man. Kit was special in my life.
Kit was special in everybody. Airwolf, Kit, Blue Thunder. Yo, believe it or not, even though that shit had a Confederate flag on the top of it, the Dukes of Hazzard's car, you know what I mean? All of those things were made. The A-Team van. You know, it's really cool that we were on a show that paid homage to all of those shows from our youth, you know?
Yeah. Well, like all the writers were as geeked out on that stuff as we were.
You know, like the janitor has an A-Team van now.
Yeah, for no reason.
Yeah. No, well, he has a reason. Cox destroyed his other van, but he literally has an A-Team van.
Now, I don't think there's still to this. Oh, actually, there are sort of modern-day watchy-talkies, I think.
Yeah, your iWatch and shit like that.
Yeah, but I mean, I literally feel like
take video with that shit.
I feel like once I saw like some tech conference, there was a thing that was like a almost like the Star Trek thing, communicator thing, where you could touch it, it connected to the Bluetooth of your phone, and then you could talk to the matching person who, if you guys were had the same frequency or code or something. That was cool. Well, I thought. I guess it'd be good if you're skiing or something.
All of that shit that we used to watch where they would look at somebody on a TV while they talk to them or a hologram while they talk to them, that's all come to fruition with FaceTime and you know, and apps like that.
Yeah.
And so we had, like, you know, sci-fi. We are living in some of it. It's just that it's not, I mean, I don't want to pay a million. Like, who was the dude that was like, I can't make it today when that rocket went up in the air? When the Bezos rocket went up in there,
Think he just got cold feet?
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, I don't want to blow up today.
Yeah, he was like, I think he paid like $30 million. And then he was like, you know what? I'm actually busy today.
Wow.
Right.
But they still got his 30, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm sure that's a non-refundable ticket.
Yeah, I don't think 100. You can get a refund. No. All right. So, Turk, let's talk about, you're trying to have a baby, okay?
Turk is trying to have a baby with Carla.
And he's not sure if his semen are good or not.
No, he's fine with it. She's not sure because she's gone through all of the, she's done all of the work. As usual, Carla has set it up so all Turk has to do is bust. You know what I mean? Like,
bust.
You think I'm joking? My wife sets it up so, sets me up for success so much. It's ridiculous.
Really?
And Carla's very much like that. Yeah, where, you know, if I have to take the kids somewhere, everything is laid out for me.
I thought you meant with sex. I thought you meant with sex.
Shit.
I thought that
We ain't there yet.
She lays out all the cushions. She lights the candles.
We're not there yet. I'm working on that.
She gets me the belt that helps my lower back be strong.
She lays out an array of cock rings for me to choose.
Yes, multiple different cock rings. Butt plugs. She polishes the butt plugs. All right. So Turk. All right. Now the cock.
Okay. We talk about one more thing before we go forward.
No, we're gonna go into all your sperm. Don't worry. Go ahead.
I don't want to go into but because this is a sex episode and it has a lot to do with just what's gonna happen to all the OnlyFans people after OnlyFans shuts down, because OnlyFans is now going to go out of business. Am I right?
Or am I right? Researching. You're absolutely right. It's the same thing. Tumblr wasn't even designed around like sexy images. And when they were like, no more X-rated content, they went from like $1 billion property to, I think they sold it for like $1 million or $2 million.
Right.
So
let's be honest. OnlyFans is going to go bye-bye. Like,
there's no way you can say who is using this except sex workers.
Does anyone know why they made that decision, if that's like their main
because
audience?
Credit card companies are starting to ban any type of sex work from being charged on their cards. Like, MasterCard was like, yo, you can't we're not going to allow you to use your card on OnlyFans while they allow.
And it's still called sex work if the person is just doing something visual for one's entertainment.
Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know that video content was a sex worker until this moment.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
You're selling sex, and you know, in some fashion.
What about if you're making people watch you eat sushi? What's that called?
Well, that's the thing. It's a, well, it's if the exact you think I'm same sexy. Thing, dude. It's the exact, but it's the exact same thing though, because somebody out there got hot off of that. Somebody was like, "Damn, the way he's fucking eating that tuna roll is getting me going." You know what I mean? You made jokes about it the whole time.
No, listen. You know what's going to happen? They're going to have to stay on OnlyFans, but hide the fact that they're doing sex work. Like Daniel's not going to get kicked off for doing his thing, but if he were pretending to play the video game but really masturbating, the sensors wouldn't be able to catch him.
Maybe he would get caught so fast. One of the kids that watches him Twitch would be like, "Oh my god!"
All right, I was just trying to help the OnlyFans people. So where are they going to go? Does anyone know where they're all going to go?
Zach, they're already scouting new websites to where they can go.
Donald, don't worry. You will have a new website soon.
Let's create one.
Do you want to? I mean, now, hey, you know what? Maybe you and I go on OnlyFans now because sexual content is over and we...
Nobody's going to want to watch us not do sexual content.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get yelled at by like that one actress who got yelled at.
Yeah. They're gonna want to see me and you rub fucking lotion.
So Bella Thorne really made out well then, because she got all that money and then she's like, "Oh, sorry, I can't do anything."
Yeah, you can hate, but she made that bag.
Yeah, but you're allowed to show nudes. You just can't show sexual activity. Is that what it is?
They came out the day after and they were like, "Yeah, what you nothing, no sexual nudity." And people were like, "Girl, what?" It's a very confusing new policy. Now people are starting to try to attack the credit card companies and try to encourage them to, like, you could just support sex work and make money, and I don't see what the problem is. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out, but I definitely think that in an attempt to gain more money, they're going to undercut themselves, because who is going to OnlyFans for anything other than sexual content? It doesn't make any kind of sense.
All I'm saying is, in this wildly capitalist society, we don't see ways to make money and just go, "Oh yeah, do more of that." It's like, why is it taking so long to legalize weed across the country? Why is the idea of selling sex online that is truly not hurting anybody all of a sudden like, I don't know about that? There's like so much money to be made there. And to me, that's the part where I'm just like, everybody just wants to make more money. Why not just get it? Get the bag. Everybody wants the bag. The bag is right there. The bag is right here. It's like, just go get it. The next site that opens up that's like, "Yeah, we welcome all sex work," they're going to be like, "Great, I'm a billionaire now." It's like,
why don't we start the Fake Doctors, Real Friends Sex Worker Video Chat Club?
I think we should start the video chat club. That's fucking nuts, dude. Holy
we'll probably
shit.
Have to check with iHeart. I don't know if it's in our contract.
Do you think iHeart would accept?
Can you imagine calling Will? "Hey, Will, we have a new idea. We have a new idea." God. "Will, I know." "No, it's not another Hyundai ad, Will. Listen, what if we open our own sex work channel?
Fake boobies, real fans.
There you go.
Oh my god, yes.
But why it gotta be fake boobs? Can't it just be...
Yeah. It's a play on the name of the show, Donald.
No doubt.
You can bring your natural titties to fake titties.
Yeah,
please do.
It's called
fake boobies, real boobies.
Real vulva, real boobs. Right. Daniel, see if that website's taken.
All right, let's look it up right now. Real vulva. Oh,
all right, can we get back to the show, please? You guys got off the rails.
Please.
Okay, so Cox has been named the best doctor, and he wants everyone to call him the best doctor.
Right. It's clear that he's the best doctor, too.
Right, and everyone's got the whole staff lined up, and it appears that he's saying, if you don't say you are when he says who's the best doctor, that he's got some agreement where the janitor will stick his mop up your butt.
Yes.
Yep. That's what happened.
Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
That's in the show, and they're not really joking about it. I mean, the janitor does
it. No, they do it. They do it. It happens.
He does it to Lonnie, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
Two times.
Yeah. And Lonnie said it, but he didn't say it loud enough.
I don't know much about HR departments, but I feel like the janitor threatening and following through on shoving a broom up your butt probably doesn't fit within the rules.
I'm gonna agree with you on that one. Yes.
Okay. Now, Turk and JD, it appears that the walkie-talkies are on all the time because we're both eavesdropping on each other's lives.
Yes.
And you say that you want to do the dolphin. Can you explain? Yeah. Now, we've cleaned the dolphin up. We probably can't really describe the dolphin even on here.
Well, we can describe the dolphin, and then we'll decide later if we're going to cut it out or not.
Okay, we'll probably cut it out. But, Donald, explain what the real dolphin is. In the most elegant way and tactful way you can.
You're asking me to do that?
Yeah, maybe I should do it.
Oh my God.
I think we can't say this
try.
On the show.
I will try.
I don't think
I
we can
try.
Say this
I will
on
try
show.
My. I
we'll just
have
beep
to
know
out.
What it is.
We'll okay. beep it out.
Okay. So in the.
But use your
the,
words.
In the television show, the dolphin
use your
is
words.
Turk. He slides into his woman like a dolphin. Right?
Yeah.
That's in the television show.
Yes.
In real life.
What's the dolphin in real life, Donald?
The dolphin is when you are having relations with your said partner.
Yes.
And you
using,
must be.
Using
vaginal
means.
You have to
means.
Be a male. You have you must be a it must be a male and female for it to work, I believe.
In the style known, often used by canines.
Right. So you're having relations in the style often used by canines, exactly. And it's when you decide to back up out of a canine situation.
And choose an alternate route.
And choose an alternate route. Mainly balloon knot or or
and then your partner, the female in this situation, turns around you, shaking her head, and says
y'all are wrong.
Oh, boy. Jamel, I don't know if we can keep that on the show and still keep sponsors, but you'll figure it out. All right, so that's the real dolphin. Donald did an NBC version of it.
Yes.
Now, this was written by Bill's assistant, Aaron. Do you remember Aaron? Good old Aaron.
Bola Jolo.
Yeah, great guy. He was Bill's assistant for many years, and this was his opportunity to write a script after... 5 seasons on the air. He is and was a writer. And directed by Adam Bernstein, who is our one of our favorites, who directed the pilot. We've given him lots of shout-outs. Incredible
who also
director.
Who also told us the dolphin joke.
Did it really come from him?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, I've known that joke for 20 years, and I never knew where it started. And you're saying Bernstein. It's Adam Bernstein. Thank you, Adam Bernstein, for sharing that with us. Now, we cut to Turk crying with a backpack on, in the field position in the bathroom. What happened, Turk?
Turk is told that backpacks aren't necessarily for men to wear.
No, purses.
Right. His backpack looks like a purse, and therefore, this is one of those episodes also where it's like, I don't know if that would fly nowadays. Like, you know.
Well, I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with a nice merce nowadays.
Yeah, well, okay. In whatever
year I feel like the joke would have taken a different turn. Yeah, I feel like you'd have been like, I'm rocking this backpack. How dare you?
Right.
Right. But Donald, you're not going to do the thing where you wear the fanny pack over.
No.
Donald, do you do that? I feel like you might do that. Do you wear the fanny pack over your chest?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Okay, I knew it.
I do both.
Does your fanny pack say Supreme on it too?
No, it doesn't. It says Raisin Cane's, the chicken place.
Uh-huh. Okay. Something struck me as Daniel as a potential fanny pack across chest guy.
Because he's always prepared.
Easier access.
Daniel, do you
the
have
joints.
A Supreme t-shirt? Do you have a Supreme t-shirt?
I have not a single piece of Supreme clothing.
Don't you feel like the people wearing fanny packs across their chest should stop? Shouldn't this be an intervention?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so. I think what's in the fanny pack you should wonder about, you know, cuz
why not just put the fanny pack over your fanny?
Because it doesn't look as cool. It's utility. It's like, utility. We're ready to go.
It's like a Chewbacca. It's like the Chewbacca strap across the
chest. Are you also not into the bulletproof vest fashion that's happening now either?
Oh, my God. Vest fashion is wild.
Hold up. I think you can't. Wait. Whoa. Hold on. Bulletproof. People are wearing bulletproof vests in the street now?
They're not truly bulletproof. I don't think.
Oh, it's less bulletproof. That's old school. Okay.
But they look like
old. They've been doing that forever.
Yeah. But they look like Kevlar vests, but some are made of like plush cotton, and they have like everything is giant
plush
pockets
cotton.
Right now. It's the move.
I don't know if you can legally wear a bulletproof vest if you're just anybody.
You can. You definitely Joelle, can.
No, Joelle, look that up. I don't think anybody and everybody is legally. Maybe it's a state thing.
That's fucked up if you can't wear a bulletproof vest. But then people could have guns.
I don't know. Let's find out the answer. Joelle has her looking face on.
In California, civilians can purchase and use a bulletproof vest unless he or she has been convicted of a felony, which is wild because if you've been convicted of a felony, there's a chance you might need one more than others.
Yeah.
Right. Wild.
Well, okay. I guess it's a state rule. For some reason, I remember hearing that you weren't allowed to wear one unless you had a reason.
Well, you're certainly right if you're a felon.
Right, but for some reason I thought it was like a deterrent for people to go rob banks because, like, no, you're not legally around. I don't know.
I see.
I'm wrong.
I mean,
or maybe there's another state that I don't know. So okay. So Jamie in Pediatrics, Donald, is who Elliot would sleep with, and then all the women who hear her name moan when they think of this woman in Pediatrics.
But so do the men too, don't they? Or at least you do.
Oh, yeah. I clearly have a crush on Jamie in Pediatrics as well. Turk's voice is always higher when he's nude. And then we cut to you totally naked. Who's that wrestler?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin's bicep, which is very large, is blocking your giblets.
Yeah, it's blocking the junk trunk. The junk.
Now, do you remember shooting that? Did it take a while to line up Stone Cold Steve Austin to block your junk?
Well, there's not a lot of junk, Zach, so it was kind of easy for Stone Cold Steve Austin to cover
what do you
up
mean?
The junk.
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
I lost you. You have such a big penis, and that's just a toy.
Yeah, that's called me fishing. Go on.
Oh, okay. I think it was a perspective thing. They put Steve Stone Cold very close to the camera. So that your eel could be well hidden.
Wow.
Under New York state law, it's against the law to wear a body armor during the commission of a violent crime. Okay, well, I get that one too, Joel. These are very specific rules for when you can wear
right. You're allowed. You're allowed to wear a body armor as long as you don't commit a violent crime with it.
Or are a felon. So far, let's just keep looking, Joel. All right. We're going to come right back and talk about how Carla has some device, I have no idea if it's real, to get semen out of Turk. We'll be right back. And we're back. Is that a real device? Does anybody know?
No, I've heard of the pump before where you stick your junk in a pump and you pump it up so it can get real big, or you try to make it big. Or
I know, but that contraption, was that a joke contraption? I think
I'm pretty sure it was a joke contraption. There's no way you can steal semen from somebody without them knowing it, other than, you know.
Were you blindfolded?
Yes, he was blindfolded.
I mean, she had this device, and she.
I don't think you could do it. I don't think you can do it. I don't think it's possible.
Joelle, I'm sorry to fuck up your Google, but will you look if there's a device where someone can pull semen out of someone without them ejaculating?
To my phone?
Yeah. I got you. I'm on my non-work computer. I can look this up.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to get these guys in trouble at iHeart. Daniel, is there a device that would extract semen without ejaculation? And would it look anything like this?
There's no way that's possible, dude. There's no way.
All right. Look at Joelle's face. What did you find, Joelle?
Something called a RAM ejaculator.
I literally saw the exact same thing. It's the top answer when I searched semen stealing device.
Semen stealing device.
This thing is just it looks like a dildo on a
machine that's going to, a piston, basically.
Oh, it's on a piston.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to do the old-fashioned way.
That's for the woman, it sounds like to me.
Well, or anyone who's a receiver, Donald.
I would just like to I'm just going to share my screen real quick. I just love that it says equipment that works. The RAM ejaculator.
Wow, a smooth probe that is inserted in the rectum of the is
produces
that a
low voltage impulse.
This is actually for folks who use it .. every day. This is literally
this might be for a cow.
This is for an animal. This is gonna make an actual RAM.
I want to read it. Go back. I want to read what it said.
Okay.
This is not for a human.
What is even happening today?
It's for a RAM. I thought it was a typo. It says a smooth probe that is inserted in the rectum of the RAM. Pressing the Pressing the button produces a low voltage impulse that causes the ram to ejaculate. Semen is then collected in a sterile container for... This is someone's job, dude, to fucking ass-fuck a ram and collect the semen.
I can't.
You listener who are complaining about your job, it's not that.
Oh, my God.
And here's the picture of the person handling it. What is this? Yes, what is please, this part yes. on the bottom? Wow. What is this?
Oh,
that's where the electric bolts come out.
It's ribbed.
It's very expensive. It's $486 if you want one.
It doesn't look that big.
Interesting that electric pulses in an anus rectum cause the ram to ejaculate.
Would that cause a human to ejaculate?
We got to try it. Dan, I'll get one. Flyhard, pay for this.
Let's get that email to Will going.
Oh my God.
Do Will, will you see?
Hey, Will, I know we're renegotiating our contracts for the next Will, couple of years.
We want freedom. We want freedom, Will. And we want the ability to stick a ram in Donald. Rock, paper, scissor. Rock, paper, scissor. Me or you.
Nose goes.
Rock, paper, scissor? Right. We're going to put it up to a game of chance like that?
I'm going
to
stop sharing.
All right, let's focus back on the show, guys. Come on. This is ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, so... You're crying in the bathroom. I had a mimosa, I must admit. This is the first time I've ever had a tiny buzz on this show.
Bullshit. I've watched you drink wine on this show before.
No. When we did the live show.
Dude, I've watched you drink wine before on the show without the live show. Don't even try.
No, I'm not you. All right, listen. Crying in the bathroom again, and we see all your old tattoos, which are now gone, right? Didn't you have them removed?
I did. I went to Dr. Tattoo Off.
And it worked. Yours are pretty gone, right?
Yeah.
But they take a lot of sessions, right? How many sessions did it take?
Well, this one, I only did like 6 sessions with this one. But I was supposed to do 12, and I just didn't finish it.
Oh, well,
what was the tattoo of?
He had a Superman.
It was a Superman, and then my name underneath it, so I wouldn't forget it, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
How old were you when you got those tattoos?
18. And I remember I wanted it so bad. I wanted a tattoo so bad because I thought it was sexy and... girls would like it, and really at the end of the day it was, you know, I had to paint it up for so many movies that I was in, you know, and television shows, and Scrubs was the first show that I was on where they were like, we don't give a shit, just let it be.
It's interesting though, because we never address it on Scrubs ever, why it says a day of Shun on Turk's arm.
Yeah, why it says Shun. It just says Shun.
Oh, it just says Shun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get the Shun taken off my lower back.
I dare you.
You dare me to get Shun on my body somewhere?
I dare you to get it on your lower back.
I don't want a tramp stamp, with all due respect to people who have tramp stamps. But what if I get like Shun on my arm?
I mean, nah, that's very nice of you.
It's not like we're going to break up. You know, sometimes couples don't want to get tattoos of each other because they could break up. But we're not going to break up.
You know where I think you should get my name tattooed?
Taint?
Shaft.
I think taint will hurt most. I want it to hurt.
No. All right. So anyway.
All right, come on. All right, listen.
Laverne in the elevator made me laugh so hard when she finds out that Turk is shooting blanks. It's a possibility that Turk is shooting blanks.
And how about every time they go around the gossip circle, I'm in there twice.
Yes.
I come around the other side.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting everybody gossiping.
Yeah.
We also learned the janitor does indeed hit Kelso with the broom on his head. Kelso then knocks on his head and we hear a clink, and someone says that he is a skull like a mountain goat.
Yes.
I don't know why the janitor wasn't fired for hitting Kelso on his head with a broom.
There are a lot of reasons for people to get fired in this hospital.
I know.
Let's just be honest.
I know. Well, we also learned that Kelso has a mistress that was once a lifeguard. And she's the one who recently gave his wife CPR. That shit had me rolling.
Fucking, yeah, you know, this show didn't have a lot of jokes in it, though. It's not as wacky as some of the episodes we've done so far.
I know, but it was a very odd one.
It was very odd.
Okay, the janitor has insane aim. He throws a melon over the hospital.
Well, he must have sonar too, because he hears the sound through the phone.
He has superpowers.
Takes a melon from nowhere and tosses it over the hospital and hits JD in the head.
Yes. A one in, nine gazillion chance.
The chances of that happening are astronomical, dude.
Well, he's got a good arm. Even if he didn't have accuracy, he threw a melon over a hospital.
Right.
I don't think you
over
could do
over a building.
That.
No, I could not. No. I don't think
a four-story building.
Could do that. Yeah, four-story hospital.
Could your fanciest quarterback do it?
Probably not.
Yeah. Because it's high.
Yeah, it has to maintain the distance of the hospital in the air before it starts to come down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that happened. And then he knocks me out, right?
Yes.
And then I say on the watchy talkie, "You're firing blanks?"
Laverne's in the elevator. She hears it. Everybody hears it. And now it's a conversation.
Oh, I'm like, I repeat, are you firing blanks?
Right. And I'm like, you stupid watchy talkie. And I get rid of the watchy talkie. And this is how the janitor gets it.
Right.
He finds it in the trash.
That's fucked up that you so easily gave up on our watchy talkies.
Well, you know, it's proven nothing but a headache for Turk so far. You know?
Okay. Now let's get into this sperm donor scene. The audience has to know something, and it's my father's birthday today. He's passed away, but he was very, very dear to me. So happy birthday, Dad.
Happy birthday.
And secondly, he and my stepmother were visiting this day, and they are in background in the sperm donor waiting room.
Yes.
What do you call that? It's not a sperm donor. What do you call that? Where you're
the sperm waiting bank.
Sperm bank?
I don't know if that's where it's called, where you go to test to see if you've got good sperm.
Oh, I don't know. But I'm guessing it's the sperm.
A fertility clinic or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the funny thing is neither one of them was of an age where they would have any reason to be in a fertility clinic. So what's your rationalization for my stepmother and father being there? They were escorting their son?
Yeah. I thought they were dropping off their son or something like that. Or
it just doesn't feel like the kind of place you'd want your parents.
No, it's not. But I do love the fact that JD has several ways of masturbating since he's now since he's living in Elliot's house and he has to find a way to.
Yes. Now, JD teaches Turk the Stranger,
which is one of the most genius masturbation skills I've ever heard in my life.
I think it's made. We didn't make it up, right? That's a famous thing, the Stranger. Or did we make it up?
It has to be something that's happened before. Like somebody, I know somebody was like,
"Had you heard of the Stranger outside of Scrubs?" Joelle,
I honestly think the Stranger was the first time I heard of it. It became vernacular in my friend group, I think, because of Scrubs.
Okay, Joelle, are you still there?
Joelle, I definitely
hadn't heard it before this.
You had or haven't?
Had not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, Donald. Even if it wasn't originally our joke, we introduced the world to the concept of the Stranger.
Have you tried the Stranger?
No, I don't think it's possible to really execute with a dead arm.
Well, it's not a dead arm. It's a dead hand.
Either. I don't know what you're doing with a dead hand and trying to complete the
act. One side can't feel it, but one side can. You know what I mean?
Right. But how is it? How are you able to?
Because you use the other side to imagine.
You hold the wrist with the working hand?
No, you don't. You use.
So you're just sort of throwing your dead hand at your penis?
Do I need to say this for real? Do I get to get into this?
Well, we can bleep it if it's too bad. But what do you?
You
in
use
your mind,
your cock as a pressure sensor.
What in science just happened?
What?
All right. Anyway, my favorite line. I think I improv this one, Donald. But it's my favorite line of the scene, which is, "Are any of the reading materials in there available for those of us out here?"
You did ad lib that. I remember this scene because your parents were there that day.
Yeah,
I do remember this scene.
And the woman gives me a look like, "No, you're not allowed to look at porn in the waiting room."
Right.
What about when the janitor contacts me on his watchy-talkie and goes, hey, JD, this is the black surgeon that you always hang out with. Come out, come outside to the ramp, dog. But, dude, it's like fucking Wile E. Coyote. He's going to drop a monitor on my head? I mean, that could kill me.
Yeah, that could kill you. He has a freaking computer monitor in his hand, and he's waiting for you to walk out the door so he could smash this thing over your skull.
It's full on Roadrunner and Coyote. He's going to smash a monitor on my head, and I'll be dead.
He wants to murder you. Yeah, that's murder.
Hey, JD, it's the black doctor you always hang out with. Come out to the ramp, dog.
So you're a fifth wheel. You're no longer the third wheel. You're now the fifth wheel.
Yes.
JD is at the end of the show.
I noticed right before Carla comes in to help you, the camera goes off a stack of pornographic videotapes. And the top ones, they're obviously fake, so they could be cleared to be on the show. But the top one's title is Sizzle.
It's a callback. Is that a callback? Is that a callback to the beginning?
To what? You don't say sizzle.
His back was sizzling like bacon.
Oh.
And it was a homoerotic scene.
Oh, no. There's a woman in a big bathing suit. That's funny. Oh. Good thinking. But no, it's just probably like a word that looks sexual that isn't, that they could actually show, you know, on a quote unquote porn tape. Sizzle.
Sizzle.
And then you say to Carla, I'm about to fill this up.
Right.
I'm sorry this episode is so sexual, everyone. It's about
sex, though.
It's about sex. I'm sorry, everybody.
Like, Elliot has an intern who she's abusing the power of, you know, her status at the hospital so she could take the intern home and fuck all the time. You know, like, that's her goal. This whole episode, her thing is, how can I get Keith out so I can have sex with him at home so we can fuck?
Right. But then they do reveal, and JD helps them out because he's so fucking weird, that Keith is the best doctor. So he finally comes around on Keith a little bit and says, no, it's not. Yes, it might be annoying to you that Elliot's constantly choosing Keith, but he's the best doctor. So shut up.
Right. And he is the best out of them all.
Yeah. And then
Travis is really starting to come out of his shell. You know what I mean? He's really, we talked about it last week, but you know, and how he had to play catch up really fast, but he's really starting to enjoy his time on the show. And this, I think that's why he lasted so long on the series.
Yeah, well, he's great. He's the perfect. Travis couldn't have done this better. He did a really good job. Now at the end, JD pulls a full Shining on the janitor, and he's stuck in the walk-in freezer.
Yes, freezing to death.
Yeah, we're not playing games anymore at this hospital. We're really trying to kill each other.
Well, he had a fucking computer, and he was gonna smash it.
But I never knew.
Right. But it's only right that you put him in a freezer for the rest of his life.
Do you notice that when he's in the freezer? Right, I say on the walkie-talkie something like, I forgot what I say, but you see him frozen, but he's holding a hammer.
Yes,
he was gonna meet me in there and kill me with the hammer.
He was gonna fucking bash your skull.
I never noticed
Harrison Ford and Presumed Innocent.
I really never knew that the games had gone to this level of like death.
I don't recall it going that far either. But
well, they were stepped up in this episode
for sure. For sure. How hot is it where you are, dude?
It's so hot. I want to take the shirt off.
Is there no air conditioning?
Well, I was deciding because I'm in a hot room, right? I thought Daniel would be upset about the AC noise. So I said, it's fine. I'll open the door. But now it's hot as balls in this room.
Were you in Montauk?
I'm in Montauk.
Turn on the AC. We can at least see what it sounds like.
No, but for the people, I'll just show my breasts.
There we go.
Do we have a caller?
We have a caller.
All right. Are they going to be okay seeing me shirtless, you think?
Let's go to break and we'll decide that.
Okay. We'll be right back with a hilarious, genius, spectacular caller. And
maybe Zach B will be shirtless.
And if the caller's all right with that, I may take off my shirt. We'll see how they feel. And we're back.
And we're back.
All right. So, Daniel, Joelle, bring us a guest that we can talk to.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. Talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage, maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joelle, let's get the show on the road.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Douglas Walker!
Digga ding ding digga digga jee jee. There he is. Hi, Douglas Walker.
Hey, how's it going?
He's still going. Or he froze. Donald froze in while saying your last name.
Oh no, he's moving. Oh, that wow. Oh, no, wow. That was good. That was some mime shit right there.
I could have still kept going too. I decided
on Rosh Hashanah, Donald, on Rosh Hashanah, there's a Jewish tradition where the someone will blow the shofar, which is the ram's horn. It's just an old tradition. And they have a thing where they go Tekiah Gedolah, and that means the shofar blower is going to see how long he can hold one powerful note. Yeah. And all I'm saying is, you would be a good shofar blower because you can really blow a wind a long time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Sorry, I know that was a long way around the block, but the people that went to Hebrew school and Temple understand.
You're welcome.
Welcome to the show, Douglas Walker. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Where are you calling from?
I live in Toronto. I'm originally from Scotland.
Okay.
Nice.
Toronto in the house, one of my love favorite Toronto. Cities.
Now, yeah, you live in a very white space. So,
yeah.
Unless that's a white space. But you have a professional microphone. Are you a singer, podcaster? What do you do?
I'm an actor. We do like a bit of voiceover, little bits here, like auditions here and there.
Right.
And I also use it to play D&D and all that sort of stuff. And
oh boy!
This is like the spare room where like self tapes and the wife can kind of. I come away to the corner to play D&D, and she can kind of have some peace.
Got it.
Nice.
Now, for those of you who aren't actors, self tapes are when an actor reads the scene. You know, on the old days, everybody used to go into a casting office and audition in person. And even before the pandemic, it started to become easier for people to submit tapes of themselves to the casting director. And so if you're an actor these days, you have to have a place in your house where you can set up a video camera and a microphone and record yourself doing the audition. And you need someone to read with you. I imagine, does your wife read with you when you're auditioning for things?
She used to read with me before we had our baby. Now I have a friend who kind of zooms in and he'll like read over Zoom, or if we can be in person one day, then we'll do it in person. Yeah.
I'm about to start seeing some auditions for my new film, and I'm very excited. I'm nervous.
Are you going to Zoom audition?
I think I'll Zoom for callbacks and stuff, but these are just the people's first submissions. And the reason I'm saying I'm nervous is I've been working on this script for so long, and I haven't heard anyone other than myself say a word of it out loud.
Oh, wow.
Florence, a little bit. Florence and I read a few things together, but I haven't heard anyone who's appropriate for any of the roles read yet. So those tapes are just starting to come in, and it's so thrilling to watch talented actors bring what you wrote come to life for the very first time, but also scary.
I can imagine that'd be vulnerable, like something that you've kind of written yourself and then just and have someone else read it for you.
It is because you're very vulnerable, and you're like, I think this is good, but I need to hear like a talented actor say it to have me believe that it's good. All right, Doug, what kind of questions you got for us today?
I've got a couple of questions. Obviously, like as I was saying, I'm an actor, so the episodes that I find like really, really interesting are the ones where like you have guests on that kind of sort of talk about their process when it comes to like, you know, filming stuff. And yeah. I do mostly like theater, like mostly musical theater. But over the last, like since I came to Canada, I've been getting more auditions for like film and TV and stuff.
Wow. And so what kind of musical theater do you do?
In the past I've done Avenue Q, Jersey Boys, Mamma Mia.
My friend that's with me has been in Jersey Boys. We should have Preston come in and sing us out, Donald, because he's with me, and he could sing a little something.
It's okay. A great show.
And Douglas could probably harmonize with him. But it's anyway.
It's one of the shows, like, normally if I do, like, a contract of a musical, like, I can't listen to the soundtrack after doing it for months, but, like, Jersey Boys is still the one that you can, like,
everybody
you can
loves it, Jersey Boys.
Yeah, like, Four Seasons of Music is so good.
It's my mom amazing. Loves that musical. I never saw the musical. Did you, Donald?
No. I'm credited of being in the movie or some shit like that on IMDb, but I've never seen the movie
you are?
In my life. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Douglas, continue with your question. I'm sorry.
So John C. McGinley came on and talked about it, like, his process and, like, the things, like, he writes bits of poetry and he, like, puts bits of poetry in and stuff like that. I thought fascinating. And
yeah,
I was just wondering, like, you guys have not really talked that much about like your process or like sort of paper to paper to screen, like, what do you do to kind of sort of get yourself ready for a role?
I think memorization is key. Preparation is key. I used to not think that way, but I do think that way now.
I think the best you're ever going to do, I mean, is getting to know it so well that you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's the hardest thing, is because, you know, on a TV show like this, we were getting the scripts last minute and we were just doing the best we could and memorizing. But when you're really trying, and it's I don't mean we weren't trying, I just mean we had to deal with that situation. But when you have time and it's a really important role, it's a very hard role, or it's a very tough audition, nothing for me can start until I have it so memorized that I'm not in my head at all about what the next line is. So right, it's just sort of, and then you start to fold in what a lot of people I think forget is, oh, now I need to be coming up with these thoughts for the very first time. And I think one of the most important things for actors to know is you've never had thought this before.
Right. When you're doing a scene, your character has never thought one of those moments before.
Yeah,
it's all brand new.
Yeah, we need to see those thoughts coming to you and getting the idea for what you're about to say, just like we do in real life. You know, we don't just rattle off. Now, obviously, it's heightened in a dramatic or comedic way that we're just so quick-witted. And for example, in Scrubs, that we always have the best joke, of course. But you still need to, even in a broad comedy like this, sell that these thoughts are new ideas, because you've got them so well memorized that you're not searching for them, and then. And then you can play with the fun of having them come to you.
I tried to take the shortcut, and you know, a lot of people make fun of me and stuff like that. But a lot of the reasons why I didn't read scripts, and this is, it's obvious an excuse, but mostly true. I didn't read scripts and didn't learn lines because I wanted it to feel fresh and brand new. I got lazy after some time too.
I think it was lazy.
Well, no, there's that too. But you know, there was also the fact that I like the fact that Turk didn't know. If he wasn't connected to it, I didn't think he should. I should know what was going on in the story. That's not a good thing. At least
if you're a young actor listening, don't listen.
For myself, that didn't work. It's better to be so prepared that you don't, like, so that when the director says, "Hey, can you do it this way?" you're able to do it without thinking about, well, what line should I on, you know what I mean? The minute that you don't have to worry about what you're saying, it's the moment you're able to open up and explore really what you're doing, is what I found.
And then I think the next thing I try and do, particularly if it's something dramatic and, you know, comedic is a bit different, but how what in my life relates to this, and how can I tap into, I most likely have not had the experience of the character I'm trying to be. But what's closest in my life that I can really tap into and replace, you know, Y with X. So when I'm passionately talking about that thing, it will be as real as that similar thing is in my heart. And I'll be able to convey it as well, because I've sort of replaced the two things. I think that's been very helpful to me too.
I had a similar experience in theater school. We did Sondheim's Company.
Yeah.
And I got to play Bobby, which was amazing.
Well, that's a great role.
So when it came to being alive at the end, you managed to get some sort of like emotional recall with it, to the point I was like, oh no, then suddenly you can't sing it without crying, and then you have to and then you can't sing when you're crying, so you have to kind of,
unless you're Ben Platt, he's mastered that.
Oh, he is.
I don't know if
unreal.
You ever saw Dear Evan Hansen. Did you ever see him do it?
I never saw it live, no.
I never saw anything like it in my life. And I don't know if they're singing live in the movie. This is going to turn into a quick Dear Evan Hansen the movie ad. But, you know, Ben got teased a little bit online for oh, he looks too old to play a high school kid now. But come on, there's so many movies where people, I mean, look at almost every show where people don't look like they're really high school kids.
Yeah.
But the reason is that no one could do what Ben Platt did with that song. He was, that music, he was sobbing every night, 8 shows a week. He'd be sobbing with pain and singing with the most beautiful voice you've ever heard.
Yeah.
That boy can sing, man. It's well, well-known fact that boy can really sing, man.
His voice is incredible.
Everybody knows. Anybody who's like, nah, he's all right, is lying. They're lying.
If you only think Ben Platt's eye, you haven't seen this man sing live.
They're lying.
They're either lying or they're
jealous.
His voice
is sick. Yeah. But anyway, we should give him a shout out because he has a new album and he's a good man. It's called Reverie. So we love Ben Platt here, and pick up his new album, Reverie. All right, Doug, next question.
This is Doug,
do you mind if I take off my t-shirt?
You do you, man.
No, I'm at the beach, okay? And I turned off the air conditioning because of Daniel. He's very, very aggressive when it comes to sound design. Although he hasn't insisted that Donald get sound buffers in his echoey office.
He said he knows how to fix it, that's why.
Okay, but I'm sweating, so don't worry. I'm wearing pants, okay?
That's fine.
Wow.
Before I get to my next question.
This looks ridiculous.
Show your abs.
This looks ridiculous, doesn't it? I'm sitting here naked. What?
Let me see your trail.
Hold on, I gotta get him ready. I gotta
see your happy trail.
Oh my
God. Let me see your happy trail. Look at that.
Looking good.
Dude, not in front of Doug. Not in front of Doug. All right. Doug, next question.
Okay. So this is for everybody. Is there a piece of art, whether it be like a book, a play, a sculpture, a painting, anything that you would like to take and make a film adaptation of, what would it be?
Wow.
Great question.
There was a children's book I wanted to adapt called Andrew Henry's Meadow. That was always something on my list. I don't know. Donald, do you have anything that's on your mind that's not Star Wars related?
That I could adapt into a movie. Wow. It's all been done before.
No, Donald, that's not the attitude that Douglas is looking for.
There are a couple of role-playing games.
Okay, you're speaking his language.
That suck at as role-playing games, but the visuals and the artwork and all of the stuff that they put into the game is so great that you could easily turn it into animated series and or movie.
Has there been a good Dungeons & Dragons movie? No.
No, there's no such thing as a good Dungeons & Dragons movie. It's impossible. There's no way. If you were able to achieve that and make it feel like adventurers starting off and by the end of it, they're experts and all of that shit. If you could make that happen in 2.5 hours and it'd be good, you are the best. But like the closest thing you have to it is Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Okay. Douglas, when you play D&D, you play like Dan or
Game of Thrones. That's the closest thing. Those are the closest things to Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm. When you play, do you play like these guys do, like on a virtual board with friends?
Virtual tabletop.
Yeah. We play on a virtual. So we actually started at this beginning of COVID. I think so many people started playing at the start of COVID. So there's five of us, and then obviously our dungeon master, and then we're all fully vaccinated now. So we had a few weeks ago, we had our first in-person game ever. And we haven't had one since because we're like, well, now that we've done that, we can't go back to going online. So we want to, but obviously everyone's schedules are like, it's a little bit more difficult to get everyone in one room at one time.
Does everyone drink and smoke weed when you play?
Yes.
Yeah. I was about to say it's not Dungeons and Dragons if you're not doing that. And that was the allure when I was a kid and I was playing with all my friends. It was like we would get turnouts where it'd be like 10 people and you'd be like, there's no way we're gonna do a campaign with all of these people tonight. But people would come to smoke weed and drink too. That was the reason why they were there.
They weren't playing the game?
No, but so we would have like the neighborhood drug dealer come through and play Dungeons and Dragons with us so we could smoke weed for free with, you know what I mean? He was also a buddy of, he was one of my best friends growing up.
Would he weigh in and be like, don't let your goblin.
He would play. And he would roll some of the biggest blunts you'd ever seen in your life and we'd pass it around and play Dungeons and Dragons, man. But it would be like, look, man, I'm going to tell you something right now. That would be the best when you'd be like, oh, shit. I don't want to say his name on here because I don't want to get him in trouble. But you'd be like, oh, I'm saying it anyway. Fuck it. Oh, shit. Coming tonight? Oh! Yeah.
I'll bleep that.
How come every drug dealer's name is Why? Why is that? When I was growing up, every drug... Yeah, I guess so. Every drug dealer I had, yo, call
When we first started playing at the start of the pandemic, we were playing like 2-3 times a week because there was nothing else to do. And it got to a point where I'm like, okay, I need to not drink for a while, because it was like every session was like five or six beers. And then I'd like, right, okay, I need to like not drink for a bit.
You got to be careful, because your character will get crushed, right?
Yeah. Well, my character.
Daniel, you're getting too messed up. You're not going to make the right choices for your character.
What level is your character right now?
Level 10, rogue sorcerer.
Wow. Okay, so here's the thing.
You're going.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, though.
What does that mean?
It just means he has a very experienced character, and he's getting some pretty dope rolls out of his attacks right now. Like, how many dice do you roll for an attack? Like five or six now?
I multiclassed, so my rolls are low, like my spells are lower. So if you multiclass, you kind of do different types of characters.
Right. So what do you have, like a dark elf?
So I'm like
cavalier type.
I'm a wood elf that started as a rogue. And then then went into became a sorcerer as well. And so
you're really high level, because you had to get to 10th level.
Okay, I feel like people are going to start tuning out. So these are different things. Daniel, do you respect that character? That sounds like something impressive.
Of course.
And you're
that sounds like a lot of fun. Okay. I'll put it this way: like leveling in Dungeons and Dragons is 1 to 20. So 10 means you've been playing for a long time. Like really to get to level 20 is a really, really long time.
I'm a 19 ogre magi.
Well, think about it though, because he can't. But think about it. Daniel, he has to go up in levels first with the first class before he can switch to the second class. Yeah. So he was already a 10th level. Yeah.
Why can't I just show up at the game and be like, "Hey, everybody, how you doing? I'm Zach. I'm a level 20 ogre magi. Let's do this."
Sometimes
the
you start
whole point
a campaign
of the game
like
is
that.
To level up, though.
But
like,
it's whatever campaign you're
starting
playing.
At a level 20 that you didn't earn it. You just come in
I'm just
all
saying,
powerful.
Yeah, I'm just gonna kill everyone.
Just come roll. Just for,
what's
just for
the
a
most
session?
Amount of die you can roll?
You can
it depends
roll
on what you're rolling for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach, I but implore you. Listen, I'm begging you, Zach. I'm
no,
begging
you're not.
You now.
What?
I'm begging you now. Get a fucking Switch and get Zelda Breath of the Wild. If you are looking for procrastination for writing,
no,
or whatever
I'm not.
It is,
I'm looking to get away from procrastination from writing.
Oh, okay. Well.
All right, but thank you. All right, Douglas, it's time for Toronto / Scotland's favorite segment.
It's time to fix your lag.
Oh my God, God! Every breastfeeding mom is just pissed right now.
It's all right.
Sorry.
Let's get the baby
back
on.
Let's get
them
back on.
Back on.
Okay, take it.
Shh,
there it is.
Shh,
latch. Latch. Okay, they're back
there's
on.
The
if my wife listens to this, she'll be very appreciative of that.
There you go. No, we get a lot of comments from breastfeeding moms that they appreciate it when we help the baby relatch after Donald screams. All right, go ahead, Gregory. How can we help you?
So I had a baby last year on the 31st of October.
Congrats.
He came, thank you very much. He came 10 weeks early. So he was like a preemie baby.
Wow.
He's completely fine. He's absolutely gorgeous. He was just eager to meet us, and he just needed to grow a little bit. However, like since then, I was never really one for worrying. And since then, I'm just like constantly worrying about his like well-being and his development and basically anything and everything. And it's sometimes it's just at the back of my mind, but sometimes it's like right at the forefront and can be quite like overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if A, it ever goes away, and B, if not, is there anything you would recommend to
I just
help?
Wanna, first of all, welcome you. Parenthood. This is what parenthood is, Douglas. This is how it is. This is forever.
Well, you get a little respite after 18 years, right?
Even after 18 years, you still kind of worry about them. I know my mom worries about me.
No, I know.
Like
my
that.
Mom worries about me, but I'm saying that, like, his main goal right now is 18.
Oh, dude, listen, you get to 18, there's a relief. There's definitely a relief. When you get to the point where they can freaking think for themselves and everything, and you hear yourself coming out of your child's mouth, you hear your knowledge coming out, then you start to relax a little bit too. It's like, all right, well, they're thinking like me now, and they know that I wouldn't want to do this, and they're thinking, well, what would daddy and mommy do? So I'm starting to, you know what I mean? So there's that, but I'm going to keep it 100 with you for the rest of your life. He's saying till 18. I'm telling you, until you pass away, you're always
18 years, 18 years,
and worry about
18th birthday. He found out it wasn't his. Yeah. Is that the lyric, Donald? That song is hilarious.
Yeah, it's the truth though. I ain't saying she a gold digger.
You see him on TV any given Sunday.
Win the Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai.
Shout out Hyundai.
Yeah.
Shout out Hyundai. Yeah, ask them if Donald can sing the full song for our sponsors. All right, Douglas, I don't have any kids, but I can tell you, risk management, everything, whether it's getting on a motorcycle or swimming in the ocean, there's ways of managing risk.
Yeah.
You know, so if there's things in your house, is your child walking it?
No, he's like this close to crawling.
You're in trouble. Once that happens too, it gets even worse, man.
Yeah. He's like getting super frustrated that he just hasn't figured out that he has to move his hands. And then as soon as that happens,
make sure your house is all proofed. Like even the cords, you know, the shade cords, kids can get hurt themselves on those. And I mean, obviously I'm not an expert. Google every possible thing in your house. So it's, and get those kiddie door fences. Right,
yeah.
Donald?
You know, I'm thinking about it. It's
do you have a pool, Gregory?
I'm pretty sure Douglas is already.
I know. I'm brainstorming for him. Douglas, do you have a pool?
No.
Okay, but if you ever go over a friend's house, once the baby starts crawling and walking, and they have a pool, you can't leave him out of your sight for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Just teach the baby how to swim pretty early.
Obviously, yeah, and that's another thing I do. If I was you and feeling extra neurotic, start swimming like as soon as possible.
Because they can swim. He could probably. Is a boy or girl?
Boy.
He could probably swim right now.
Well, I've seen these show you them just throwing babies in the water. I'm not letting them do that.
Swim right now.
No. I think I'll wait till two.
But that's what you really want. Because look, let's say you do have a pool and the baby does fall in the pool. It gives you enough time to get to the baby, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And where instead of the baby sinking to the bottom, the baby will stay up on top and float for a little bit before it does that. And you'd be surprised how long babies can swim for.
And I would also say if you have babysitters and stuff, I think it would make me neurotic if they were driving the child around and I didn't know their driving skills.
Mm.
Get a nanny cam.
Yeah.
Not just for you. You know, I'm bullshitting. You don't need a nanny cam.
Do you have a nanny? But if and when he starts having babysitters, there's no reason not to have a camera up on your shelf. Except just don't get caught saying
spy on your wife and your kids.
Just don't get caught saying stuff to your over the baby monitor. That's like, isn't that a story that happens where like someone goes into to the baby's room, the nursery, and they're just talking shit about their mother-in-law, and then the baby monitor's on in the kitchen.
Oh yeah, I think it happens in every sitcom.
Yeah, and then they go into the kitchen, and the mother-in-law's like packed. She's like out of there.
I say you're welcome.
Yeah, Douglas, you're welcome.
I'm going to be honest. You're welcome.
No, that's great.
Douglas, how awesome is it to have the name Douglas Walker? That's a pretty fucking dope name.
It's Douglas Walker. I love it. It's good.
Doug, do you want to sing a little something for us? Anything just to give us a little sample or no? I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, I'm all right. I'm all right.
I'll go. Stars in their multitude. I think my friend, he may have gone to the beach, but hold on. Let's see if my friend's here.
Sing Dream Little Dream. Stars shining bright above you.
Bum, 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 bum.
Night wings that seem to whisper, I love you.
Bum, bum, bum.
Birds singing in the sycamore tree. Dream a little dream of me.
All right, everybody. That's our show. Thank you so much, Douglas, for coming on. Donald, I love you. Daniel, I love you. Joelle, I love you.
Dream a
love you back.
Dream of me.
If I may.
Yes.
No, you may not, Douglas. No,
all right,
you may not.
Donald.
Yes, you may, of course.
Go ahead. What is it?
I just wanted to say just a quick thanks to you guys and also probably by extension, Bill Lawrence
Never heard of him. Who is that?
Obviously a big fan of Scrubs growing up, and it like set the standard for like platonic male friendship, like between two guys. Like the relationship on that show was like, that's the kind of people I want to surround myself with, and that's the people that I do surround myself with now.
Good.
So
that's great to hear.
Good.
Thank you so much.
And can I do a quick shout out?
Do your thing.
It's just for my wife, really, because since COVID and she's had the baby, her and her band have still managed to like write and record an album. And so I thought as like a she's awesome. I mean, I just wanted to like shout out who they are. So
what's the name of the album? What's the name of the album? Where can we get it? What's the name of the band?
Okay, so the band is called Lunar Bloom. They are a three-woman harmony folk band. They just finished recording their album Running Deep. It's still getting mixed and mastered, but you can get their EP, which is on anywhere you can get music.
Okay, so look for Lunar Bloom.
It's just under their name, Lunar Bloom. And to quote Scrubs itself, if my heart could write songs, they'd sound like this.
Oh, you're a very nice husband. You seem like a very nice man.
Thanks.
You seem
you're
kind.
Also very nice people.
Thank you. You seem kind and and loving, and I bet you're going to be an amazing father.
He is an amazing father.
Well, I'm saying already. As the child continues to grow. Okay, Donald?
Okay, calm down. Put Donald? Your shirt back on. Where the fuck your shirt go?
I got to get out of this room. Then. This room, I'm not exaggerating, is 110 degrees. But look at my armpit. All right.
Nobody wants to see that.
The time has come.
Holy cow. Drum roll, please, Zach.
Danil, I'm going to, I don't have timpani. Danil's the one with timpani.
Wait a second.
I got you.
There we go. Danil, okay, that dog's getting bigger, by the way.
Well, that dog is very cute, but don't let the dog upstage from the timpani.
Timpani. Now.
Listen, this is incredible.
Yeah.
This is what's happened, okay? We went to Hyundai. This is a sum up. And we said, can we give one of our listeners who's in need of a car that would really change their life, not someone who just wants a car upgrade to a Hyundai Tucson, but someone who could really have meaningful change in their life from receiving a car. I didn't even think they were going to spring for the fancy Hyundai Tucson. I thought it might be like the entry vehicle or whatever, the lowest one they have.
Oh, you mean what I'm driving right now?
Yes, but Kona? It's still nice. Yeah, but the Kona is still a great car.
It is. It's electric.
But these folks came and said, absolutely, we will. And we'd like to give them a Hyundai Tucson. And Donald and I were like, whoa, 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 what? Then I went to iHeart. I want to take credit for this, but I really feel like, I mean, I don't even know how it's
going. Go ahead.
Working.
Go for yours, dude.
No. I don't mean separate from you. I want to say that I went to the good people at iHeart. And said, hey, I don't want someone to get... Sometimes when someone wins a luxury car, like on a game show or something, they're then stuck with some insane tax bill. And I said, I don't want to strap someone who's clearly in need with a surprise tax bill for a yay, you want a luxury car. And iHeart said...
You know what? You can't lie. This was all you that did that. This is the truth.
I did do that, but I want all the listeners to know. Because some of you are like, oh, you're going to stick this kind person in need with a tax bill? No.
We're paying the taxes.
We're paying the taxes.
I can get real controversial right now, but I'm not going to do it.
No, please don't, Donald. This is a celebration. Danil, get the timpani ready again. Hover your finger over the timpani.
All tax paid.
Now, I want to read, before we bring on the winner, I would like to read people that were with some amazing submissions, and I want you to know that every single one of them was read by our team and narrowed down. And I have to say that there was a slight soft spot in our heart for this particular writer because she is a nurse's assistant. And the people submitting paragraphs were limited to 100 words, and I'm not sure if she used all 100 words. Joelle, did you do a word count on the winner?
I didn't do a word count. I know
Let's
she couldn't have gone
count.
Over.
Let's okay. do a word count. I want to know how she won with 87 words, whatever it is. But I'm going to read you what she wrote. Okay?
Everybody count while he reads. Let's go.
No. Joelle knows how to do a word count. She's a writer.
I sure do.
I got the answer.
What is it?
99.
Whoa! Thunderous applause, Danil. Thunderous applause.
And she kept it in the rules.
Wow. Yes. Wow. We also love a rule follower. Okay, I'm going to read you. I'm going to read you what the winner wrote to us before we bring her on. Quote: "This would be a dream come true to win this car. Right now, I put the kids on the bus for school. And then I walk 3 miles to catch a bus to go to work as a nurse's assistant. As a single mom with one income coming in, getting a car is not in the budget as I can barely pay the bills. Winning this car would relieve so much stress, especially coming into the winter season ahead. Being able to drive means I could work more hours and possibly look for a better job for my family.
Love that.
You had us at all of that, all 99 words. So we are, on behalf of Donald Faison, Joelle Monique, DJ Daniel Goodman, aren't you happy I know your last name?
I'm honored. You honor me.
You honor me. I don't have my thing plugged in. You honor me. You honor me. And of course, Hyundai, the good people at Hyundai and the good people at iHeart. So we are very thrilled to welcome our winner, Ann Doyle. Donald, please do a celebratory.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on a very special episode of Fix Your Life, we welcome Ann Doyle!
There she is. Hi, Ann.
I don't know how to do anything. I always had my son help me.
Oh, well, it's so nice to meet you, and congratulations, you won!
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. The kids have been going crazy here in the house. I'm actually hiding out in their bedroom where they don't like to go.
Oh, that's very sweet. Well, not only did you win, but you won. Like, when we set out to do this contest for someone, we thought, okay, well, understandably, Hyundai will probably give the base model. They gave you, like, the sweet Hyundai Tucson.
It's incredible, really. I was crying earlier.
Oh, good. Tell us a little bit. We read your note. We just read your note, which we thought was beautifully said. And of course, it goes without saying, on this show, we have a soft spot in our hearts for single moms and, of course, people in the medical profession. But tell us a little bit about, please, just how this car is going to change life for you a bit.
Oh, my gosh. You know, in the morning, I have to rush to get the kids on the bus. And then I started running to the bus stop, which is like miles away, so that I can get a couple extra hours in. But I had to take the bus all the way to work. And then so it limits the time I can actually do work, because I had to make sure I'm back here and not having the kids on the street here before I get home from work. So the car is going to be able to go to maybe a different job or something like that. And they'll give me more full time work, because now I don't get benefits or anything like that. And the kids are never able to do sports at school or after school or like play dates, because how are they going to get there? So we'll be able to do so much, you know, working, as you say, in like the medical profession. Well, I'm not only an aide, but, you know, we had so many sad cases over the year. You know, some patients died there with the COVID and all that business. So, like, you know, this will be so exciting. At least we'll be able to drive to work, you know, listening to the radio. That'll be so nice.
Oh, no, the car, it doesn't come with a radio.
Yes,
the
it
radio.
Does, Don.
No.
No, I don't know.
All it has is the motor. There's no air conditioning.
It has an A-track.
There's no air conditioning, and there's no computer, so you have to roll the windows down.
I tell you, if it was like a Flintstone car, I would take it.
and I don't know if you saw the little funny video we made driving around in the Tucson when we did that show, but it's that exact car that we had that we were driving around.
It's a baller car. It really is a baller car.
It's really nice. It has that whole clear roof thing. And Your kids are going to love it, because it's super cool. And we're just so happy for you. And the idea of you being able to take your kids to activities and not be walking 3 miles to catch a bus after you take them to the bus stop, especially in winter, Donald.
Well, what city are you in?
It's work, Wayland. We're in Wayland. So it's like far. We're in the middle of nowhere, pretty much. But there's
Wayland, where?
What's the next closest city?
Next closest city.
What state?
Like a big one, everyone knows.
In Massachusetts. We're in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Wayland, Mass.
There you go. So Wayland, Mass.
Wow. Well, this is definitely going to work, because I know how cold it gets in the New England area.
We've given people, the most we've ever given people is a case of kombucha. And and that always goes over very well. And no offense to GT's kombucha, but a Hyundai Tucson is one step more baller.
So beautiful, so beautiful. We were watching a video on it. The kids.
Oh, that's so
oh, really?
Happy, those kids. I can't believe it.
That's nice. Wait, hold up. You were watching a video on the Hyundai Tucson?
Yeah.
And its features?
On the phone. My son showed me how to do it on the phone.
On its features? I love it.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Do you remember when you had, like, I remember when I was younger and it was like the car, if there was a car that I really wanted, I would go to the, at least go to the dealership and get the handbook.
The brochure.
And yeah, the brochure, and look through the brochure and everything.
That would happen
like
to me when my father would go to look at a new car. I would get all the brochures in the whole dealership. And I would, because he barely cared, but I loved cars. And I would sit there at home and look at what paint color I might get and what features I would get.
If I get the S series, yeah. I'm going to go candy blue, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if and I have father, to get the C.
My father never cared, but I was like, we definitely need the behind the we need the behind the front seat monitors, you know.
The kids are saying, oh, can we have 10 seats or 7 seats? I'm like, I only need 3 seats.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it comes with that for sure.
Well, it actually has some really cool safety features that we found out when we were driving. It has this, remember that thing, Donald, about, oh, what I love about it actually was when you turn the signal on, let's say you turn your right signal on, a camera that shows your blind spot comes up right in front of you, right in front of the steering wheel, like where your speedometer is. A camera showing if any car is in your blind spot comes up on your dashboard. It's pretty cool. I wish my car, I have a nice car and it doesn't have that. I wish my car had that. Anyway, we don't want to take more of your time. We just wanted to celebrate you. Will you please, when you get it and it's in your possession, will you please send us some pictures of you and the kids so that we can put them online and just show everyone you and the kids and the new car?
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, no problem. The kids will love that.
Okay. Well,
thank you really much,
Donald.
Really,
what else do you want to say, Donald?
Dream come true.
Well, I'm excited for you, and I know I you know my grandfather lives in Springfield, Massachusetts. Yeah. And so I know how cold it gets, and I know how SUV is definitely needed in the winter. Oh, and so so I'm just so happy that Hyundai was so willing to give us a car first off, but then that we were able to get you a car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And we noticed, by the way, Anne, that you hit 99 words. We did a word count because that's how particular we are in our contest. And
if you had done 101,
No, they wouldn't. I don't think 101 would even get through to us. But
it would never
Anne,
what have word you, through.
Anne, you only ended up with 99, and I wonder if there's one word you'd like to add. Maybe just thanks. Yeah.
Thankful.
Well, listen, we are grateful to you working in the health industry, and we all, every single one of us, appreciates how hard it is to be a single mother. It sounds to me like you're a really fun single mother, and your kids are about to have a really, really cool SUV thanks to Hyundai. So congratulations, and thank you so much, and send us pictures.
Yes,
send us pictures of that beautiful Hyundai Tucson.
Oh my gosh, definitely.
All right, Anne.
Thanks so much.
Take care, Anne. Bye-bye.
All right, take care.
Wow, I can't believe we gave away a car.
Well, we did it. She's very sweet. Joelle, make sure we get pictures because I think it would be fun to put out on the interwebs and show people Anne and her kids and their new Tucson.
Shout out to Hyundai, man. Like,
yeah,
for real,
cool.
for real, man. You guys are awesome for this. And thank you for partnering up with us over here, Fake Doctors, Real Friends. You know.
Don't you feel good, Donald?
I feel great. Like, I did something.
What about, I got emotional when she was like, my kids can't do play dates or sports or anything.
Well, when she said the sports thing, that really hit home because you know how
word
my kids.
Sports hit you.
Always, yeah. Always.
What if she had been like, I can't take them to see Star Wars?
I would have been like, let's see if we can get you a flat screen inside that Hyundai. I'm going to spring for a flat screen. No.
All right. Well,
I'm
that was
so
really
happy,
nice.
Man, that we did that. That was really cool, man.
Really nice. Thanks, thanks everybody. Thanks, Joelle and Daniel for making it happen. And thanks, iHeart. And thanks, Hyundai. And all right.
You know what? I think, man, we should try and figure a way to do things like this more often when we partner with, you know, where we partner with big companies, whether it be car or like GTs. They're so awesome for doing what they do also. We got to shout them out also.
We could give away some free therapy from BetterHelp, maybe.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay.
The whole world.
That's
yes.
Yo. Mm-hmm. That's,
I'm just brainstorming. I'm.
That's kind of fire.
That's a good.
That's actually kind of fire, dude.
Yeah.
If we could get that going.
Y'all see Amanda dance?
Oh my God.
She
so
has a
lovely.
Really good. She has a good shot at winning this thing.
She's so talented. She biggest really competition does. Is probably what JoJo.
I think JoJo. Christine Chu is definitely competition, and I'll tell you why. One, she's been going to the show for season after season after season. Like, she's sat in the audience and watched.
That doesn't matter.
And she's dreamed of this.
I know,
this is JoJo
Siwa. First of all, it's about voting, all right? Now, JoJo Siwa's got like a zillion followers.
It's a great story.
And I think Amanda, I know I'm biased, but I think Amanda is the best dancer.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that
Amanda has enough voters because it's all about popularity, ultimately.
Well, everybody can only vote 10 times. You know,
were you sad when your Karate Kid guy got kicked off?
I kind of saw it coming.
Yeah, he couldn't really dance.
I'm sure he could dance.
No, he's I don't think he could dance.
He's just a little bit older than
That's
everyone
That's fine.
Else.
There's plenty of 75-year-olds who can shake a leg. I don't think that particular gentleman could dance.
I bet you
But I don't younger, understand I'd be any better.
I bet you when he was younger and he was limber and doing his karate back then, he was
Have
very...
you ever seen these old men on the dance floor that know all the moves and they're twisting and they're spinning and they
A lot of those cats danced as a youngster.
They had to young people had to learn ballroom dancing back in the day. Do you know how JoJo Siwa is the first woman to be able to dance with a female dancer? I was thinking we approached the show about you and I dancing together.
Yes, please.
Why not? Why are you shaking your head?
Because we're going to get kicked off right away.
No.
Because neither one of us knows how to ballroom
You're a
dance.
Very good dancer.
Yes, neither one of us you knows how to ballroom
practice.
Dance.
We practice. Won't ballroom dance. We'll break dance.
With the rap bot Little Old Meat Lamar.
We'll pop and lock. They'll be like, no matter what they say, and now Donald Faison and Zach Braff with the Foxtrot will still come out and pop along. Yes, and you know how everyone changes their song every week?
It's Ours always a revenge of nerds.
By little old me, Lamar. This week, Zach and Donald with the tango. Pop and lock.
Clap your hands, everybody.
I bet you we wouldn't get kicked off for a long-ass time.
There you go.
Jamel, can you ask the Dancing with the Stars producers if they'll make an exception to Donald and I'll dance with each other?
I'll write them right now.
We'd get kicked off so fast. There'd be so many people that would be like, they're not taking this seriously.
Yeah. People are very, very serious about this.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand how popular this show is. This is not.
Dance is a serious, serious ballroom dance. Did you see the movies, the Silver Linings Playbook?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember what that movie was?
Yeah, they build up to a ballroom dancing competition, I recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why are you laughing, girl? Did something happen on the animated Star Wars?
Do you remember how serious people?
See
do you
my
remember how?
In the background.
But do you remember how serious? Do you remember Hold how serious? Wait, you listen to watching Star Wars right now?
Yeah. No. What's that fucking show called that she watches? What's it called?
Yeah, Rebels.
She's, you know, sometimes Joelle laughs, and I'm like, is it the show, or did something happen on Rebels in the background?
I just like Donald's passion for Silver Linings Playbook. He's like, it was all spelled out right there in that movie.
If you see
serious stuff,
it's a serious stuff. If you see how those people, they were so pissed off watching the two of them at the end of the movie dance. They were so upset. All of the people that were there.
There's
and they didn't
I
give a shit. They was like, all we got to do is get like a five.
Baz Luhrmann's first movie, Strictly Ballroom. I never saw that.
So goddamn good.
You like
is
it,
Is that the documentary?
No.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Mad Hot Ballroom. Never mind,
it's
sorry.
It's his first movie.
I have not seen Strictly Ballroom, but I have seen Mad Hot Ballroom.
Is that the one with the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds so great.
Anyway, vote for Amanda, guys. Come on. We want her to win. We don't have, she doesn't have the fan base that JoJo Siwa has, and we want her to win. So vote for her. Right?
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
Donald, did you vote 10 times for her?
You want me to be honest? Or you want
Yes,
me, or,
I want you okay. to be honest.
I voted once, but
that's bullshit. Why, you can just copy paste 10 times in a text.
Is that what you did?
Yeah, you say Amanda to the whatever number they give you on the show, and then you copy that text, and you just go paste 10 times. You can't do that for Amanda. It'll take you 11 seconds.
I'll do it next Monday.
Dick. I thought you were going to say something funnier that you voted for Cody. Cody got screwed because of
yeah,
the COVID.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Damn, Cheryl. You had to get that vid, man.
But he still looked good on his rehearsal video.
Dang. I wanted to see Cody dance. I'm not going to lie. Mm. Do you know why I wanted to see Cody dance?
Because you have a crush on him.
There's a little bit of a man crush on Cody. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
When Amanda took that picture and sent it to us of the two of them.
Yeah, standing you're jealous.
There was a little bit of jealousy in me. No, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. I just want to hang out with the dude and crack.
I just want to
like he's really
with
funny. He's so.
This is the way we're gonna get him on our show is because Amanda's gonna get his cell phone number and we're gonna stalk him.
We're gonna have to. Yeah.
Oh, this is our goodbye call, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
I'm gonna tell you something.
Yeah, we're going. You're good to go. Make your fabulous.
You guys
movie.
Want to tell me to break a leg? It would be nice.
Well, I break a leg, man. Do you want it on? You want it right now? You want it right now?
What is happening?
I'm pretending that Donald's
hitting
me in
my
the face.
Cock in his face.
Okay.
I'm pretending Donald. Oh. I'm pretending this is Donald.
Oh, the mic is Donald's penis. Okay,
yeah,
I'm caught up.
Yeah.
Donald, this is what I was doing. Donald, this is what I was doing.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough.
You're getting hard, aren't you?
It's a little movement.
I didn't lick it. I just put my nose on it.
I'm so happy you didn't lick it.
Unprepared.
All right. All right.
How did it smell? How did it smell?
It smelled like sports.
Oh, my God. No!
All right. We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Off 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and a